This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Scientists at the University of Illinois report that they have mapped the physical architecture of the brain with an accuracy never before achieved. Their study, published in Brain, a journal of neurology, is the largest, most comprehensive analysis so far of the brain structures vital to general intelligence, which depends on a remarkably circumscribed neural system, and to specific cognitive functions like memory, self-control, or recognizing speech. Get it? I didn't. So we asked University of Illinois neurology professor Dr. Aaron Barbet, lead author of the study, to walk us through.
You know, it might be useful here to think about the brain by analogy to other physical systems. So one physical system that we all know a lot about is an automobile. So you can think about the functions of a car and our understanding of the car by the way that we interact with it, right? By driving it and turning the steering wheel and pressing on the accelerator pedal. And that provides a way of understanding how the car functions. But if we wanted to go even further, we could actually look at the physical mechanisms that generate those abilities of the car. And so, for example, we could open up the hood and begin looking at the engine, and we could see how specific properties of the engine give rise to particular aspects of the car's performance. And so very broadly speaking, we can think of the brain as the engine of the mind, and we can look specifically at particular brain structures and brain networks to determine how those networks and how those brain structures contribute to brain function. And so one of the challenges has been it can be difficult to map the functional organization of the brain, and it can be difficult to determine what the cognitive function is of specific brain structures. And so in using the methods that we used for our study, we investigated neuropsychological patients that had brain damage. One of the challenges often is that a patient can have damage not just to one brain structure, but they can have damage to many brain structures. And so it can be difficult sometimes to determine what the functional role of specific brain structures is.
And your subjects were Vietnam veterans. Why did you choose Vietnam vets?
Well, Vietnam veterans, in this case, were a very sort of unique sample. These participants had combat-related penetrating head injuries. Their brain damage is very focal in nature. Typically, it impairs, you know, one or a small subset of brain structures. And so from a scientific perspective, they can be very, very useful because they allow us to look at the functional significance of particular brain structures.
So their injuries would be different than, say, somebody who'd had a stroke.
Exactly. So a stroke often produces more diffuse.
So how did you do it? What was your approach to pinpointing these regions with specific cognitive functions?
So we used a method in the neuropsychology literature called voxel-based lesion symptom mapping. And essentially what we did was we took all of the patients in our Vietnam head injury study, and we had 182 of them, and we put them into one large group. You know, each individual patient might have a different profile of brain damage, right? So you can imagine, you know, the first patient, and they might have damage in a particular brain area, and then we could look at the second patient, and that patient might have damage in a different brain area. But when we put all of the patients together, that allowed us to sample from pretty much the entire brain. So we then divided the brain into individual units or elements, what we call voxels, which are three-dimensional pixels. So, you know, on a computer screen, you have pixels, mm-hmm. and a voxel is just a three-dimensional pixel, or it looks like a cube. And so you can divide the brain into over 3,000 cubes or individual units. And then what we did is on a voxel-by-voxel basis, we examined the degree to which damage to a particular voxel produced impairment in measures of general intelligence and in measures of executive function relative to patients from that same cohort, but that didn't have damage to that voxel. And so this provides a method of systematically exploring throughout the entire brain these brain-behavior relationships.
So if we were to return to the car analogy,
right,
you pinpointed regions of cognitive functions sort of like you could, point to the flywheel and say, this ignites the starter motor.
Exactly. That specific? Exactly. So you can imagine, continuing with the car example, if we wanted to understand in a principled way how the engine produces specific performance in the car, what you could do is you could systematically manipulate, you could sort of intervene on the engine, right, and remove particular elements of the car, and then evaluate how removing that element influences its performance. And you could determine what the causal role of each of the elements of the car engine are by using that kind of method. And that's essentially what we do when studying patients with brain damage, is we can say, you know, if a particular structure is damaged and if that produces reliable impairments in a specific cognitive function, that then tells us that that particular brain area is critically important for the cognitive function that's now lost.
So your research also found brain regions for planning, self-control, and other aspects of executive function overlapping to a significant extent with regions vital to general intelligence. Does this add anything to understanding of the patients, or that maybe even could translate into clinical psychology or rehabilitation for the patients?
We hope so. I mean, that's one of the central goals that we have. So the idea is that we can characterize the specific brain systems that are important for general intelligence and also for executive functions. And so if we can identify what those neural substrates are, then we can, in principle at least, then determine how alterations in that network produce specific forms of psychiatric illness and specific forms of neurological disease. So on the one hand, you know, characterizing the underlying neural systems is important for identifying the nature of these kinds of impairments.
Dr. Aaron Barbe, professor of neurology at University of Illinois and lead author of the study which mapped the physical architecture of the brain with an accuracy never before achieved. We do have a link to a video of Dr. Barbe further explaining the study with some helpful images and illustrations of all those voxels and much more at wordofmouthradio.org. Here's an idea for uniting your brain functions. This weekend, the Portsmouth Music Hall launches its first singer-songwriter festival. While we read that headliner Merle Haggard just stole the show at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and we are big fans of Roseanne Cash, we really enjoyed discovering another featured band, this one called O Death.
I know that days don't come back, please believe in me. And then my eyes just turn red, far as the light can see. I'll abide her arms stretch through the years and hours, past the quiet dawning, then begin to sour. I've been wasting most my time living for the day, when like folks we figured out
That's the song Bugs from their album Outside. O Death sounds kind of like they could have emerged stroking their beards from an Ozark holler, but they formed at SUNY Purchase. They built a following in New York City clubs with sweaty, often shirtless, energetic shows and a reverent but twisted take on Americana. Here's another tune, Black Dress.
Where they own most everything, and the drugs for years had been wearing off, which reminds us why we sing. I'll come for everyone in my long black dress. I'll comfort everyone when the homeless sirens rest. Thank you.
Death's music has shades of Bill Monroe and the Misfits. It's a little bit of Pogues in the Shane McGowan era. It's kind of like mountain music mixed with metal and punk. I'd call them Brooklyn hillbillies. And that's not a knock. Let's remember that Woody Guthrie also lived in Brooklyn for a spell. We'll leave you with the song Down to Rest by the band O Death. You'll find a link to more of their music and to the Portsmouth Singer-Songwriter Festival with Merle Haggard, Roseanne Cash, Lucy Wainwright Roach, the Felice Brothers, and more. That's all online at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also clap y'all's hands and say yeehaw, or just find us on Facebook or on Twitter. There's more music coming up in the second half of the show with So Percussion performing at Dartmouth this weekend. Also, a CSI team tracks down animal poachers. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a break.